The U.S. is said to provide Israel with its most extensive military aid package in history. Hezbollah cautions that Israel monitors all of Lebanon's telecommunications network. And the U.S. Army reports a record number of suicides among soldiers in the month of June.
Well, it's 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
A very warm welcome to the program. The U.S. Assistant Secretary of State claims a greater American military aid for Israel should help Tel Aviv reach tough decisions in peace talks with the Palestinians. Andrew J. Shapiro says Washington has planned to provide Tel Aviv with its most extensive aid package in history. He says the U.S. plans to bolster Israel's security by sending Tel Aviv fighter jets and funding a missile system known as Iron Dome. Shapiro says Israel is facing some of the toughest challenges in its history. The Obama administration has asked Congress for nearly $2.8 billion in security assistance for Israel. Meanwhile, Hezbollah's Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah has made his first reaction to the recent arrests of three Israeli spies who worked in Lebanon's telecommunications sector.
Press TV's Mariam Saleh has the details.
Hezbollah Secretary General has made a televised speech regarding the recent arrests of three Israeli spies who worked for Lebanon's telecommunications sector. Seyed Hassan Nasrallah said the network of these Israeli spies indicates the vulnerability of Lebanon's telecommunications infrastructure.
It has become clear without a shadow of doubt that Israel completely controls all telecommunications networks in Lebanon, and we warn that the country is exposed to the enemy.
Nasrallah linked the issue of these spies from the Alpha mobile network to the previous calls for dismantling Hezbollah's private telecommunications network by the Fuad Senura government in May of 2008. He said this network had played a vital role in Hezbollah's way of war and was immune to infiltration. Nasrallah explained why the latest arrests were of utmost importance, even regarding the assassination of former Lebanese Premier Rafiq Hariri.
The Israeli spies are linked to Lebanon's telecommunications and therefore to the Special Tribunal for Lebanon, which some sides said would indict some Hezbollah members. But it is clear now that the telecommunications networks were infiltrated by spies who can change and manipulate data.
Hezbollah Secretary General called for the swift execution of Lebanese citizens sentenced to death for spying for Israel. Citing the lenient sentences in previous cases encouraged more people to spy for Israel. Nasrallah's comments came 3 days after a military court in Lebanon sentenced a Lebanese citizen to death for giving Israel locations of the targets bombed during the 2006 war. Nasrallah also described convicted spies as accomplices in the killing of many Lebanese people by the Israeli military and lauded Lebanese President Michel Sulaiman for his readiness to approve the death penalty against Israeli spies. Lebanon's current telecoms minister has considered the infiltration the biggest Israeli espionage operation ever on Lebanon. Now Hezbollah has leveraged more than ever to maintain its private telecoms network, which Israel has so far failed to detect. Mariam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
U.S. soldiers are committing suicide at an unprecedented rate.
Increased stress after 9 years of war in Afghanistan and Iraq is taking its toll on American troops. The U.S. Army experienced a new record in the number of suicides in June. Army statistics show soldiers killed themselves at a rate of one per day, making June the worst month for Army suicides. A total of 32 soldiers took their own lives last month. 11 of them were among National Guards and the rest were in active duty. Other branches of the military are also struggling with suicides among their troops. More than 100 Marines and sailors took their own lives last year. Psychologists blame renewed deployments and prolonged tours of duty as the major factors contributing to the higher suicide rates. Well, joining us now live from Washington to tell us more is Paul Kawakamartin, Director of the Peace Action Organization. Mr. Martin, thanks for joining us. Well, despite all of the U.S.'s attempts to get a handle on the army's suicide rate, we're seeing reports showing a record number of suicides for the single month of June, as you just heard. So what are the fundamental reasons that you think are pushing soldiers to the point that they can take their own life?
Well, there's always this rhetoric here in the U.S. about supporting our troops. But unfortunately, we don't really support them very well when they return back. There is a lack in mental health resources. There's a lack in identifying post-traumatic stress disorder. And there's also issues with providing them with the proper care when they return back to the States. The other major issue is how long that they're on duty. Because the U.S. could not afford to try to have an actual draft, it has to continue to use an all-volunteer army. A lot of these people who join up don't really realize what they're going to get into and how long some of their tours are going to be. The U.S. has prolonged tours over and over again for members of the armed services to deal with Iraq and Afghanistan. And these tours are too long, and anyone cannot handle this mentally, especially when you see within some of the troops disagreement with the actual policy that they're supposed to be fighting for. This is in Iraq and Afghanistan as well. There are people who don't necessarily agree with the policies that they're fighting for. It makes it very difficult to deal with mentally. And until we increase some of the funding to deal with the mental health issues, I think we're going to continue to see suicide rates increase.
Well, Mr. Martin, the fact that you just mentioned here, Bear, some soldiers who committed suicide had been deployed 2 to 4 times, but has the U.S. military offered any kind of alternative as of yet?
Well, I think you'll see a little bit less stress on soldiers over the next year. We almost have completely the amount of soldiers that are going to be on the ground in Afghanistan. And as we speak, we have the largest withdrawal from a country since Vietnam going on in Iraq. So people from Iraq are actually coming home now 1 to 2 months earlier in their tour. So hopefully we'll see some of these suicide rates drop because of tours are lessening. But the big concern is there are still people who have been through tours several times, and if they're not taken care of when they get back, that's going to be a huge issue. A lot of this happened under the Bush administration, and I would say that the Obama administration has not acted swiftly enough to take care of some of these issues. They just recently made it easier for those in the armed service to get diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, so that way that they can get treated and hopefully avert some of the suicides that we're currently seeing.
Mr. Martin, let me just refer to another point. Now, recently, Iraqi sources revealed that 16 U.S. troops from the unit of the Airborne Division committed suicide inside a military base in Iraq. And according to Iraqi sources, the servicemen belonged to a unit of the U.S. Airborne Division that was behind the massacre of several Iraqi families in northern Baghdad. Would you say that there are more questions now among soldiers on the legitimacy of the foreign troop presence? And how do you think that's going to affect their conduct there?
Yeah, I think we've heard over years a lot of concern from soldiers who have returned. I mean, we have working at Peace Action 2 or 3 soldiers who've actually returned and were really questioning what they did in Iraq and wanted to work to get their buddies out of Iraq because they didn't agree with the U.S. policy. So I think that you will see as we continue, as the horrors of what some of these soldiers have had to do or are forced to do or unfortunately committed in the horror of war, people trying to deal with it mentally makes it very difficult. We saw that with Vietnam. We're going to see it with Afghanistan and Iraq. And so we need to have more focus on the issues around mental health. And then just the whole army and military experience in which it can be not very manly, let's say, to come out and say you're having mental health issues. And so that whole paradigm and that whole attitude needs to change to help these soldiers out, who some of which may have been lied to by recruiters to get them to go to Iraq in the first place, didn't agree with what was going on in Iraq, ended up doing something horrible because they were protecting their friends from getting killed or they were scared. Now they have to deal with it mentally, and they need to be supported in any way that we can here with mental health services.
Thanks very much, Mr. Paul Kawaka Martin, Director of Peace Action, joining us there live from Washington. But let's move on with the news now. Despite a recent agreement between U.S. and Afghan forces in Afghanistan, most Americans say the war is going badly.
Well, as Colin Campbell reports, the opinion seems to be steadily eroding. Let's have a look.
As Afghan President Hamid Karzai approves plans for a new Afghan local defense force to fight the Taliban, considered a recent victory.
We should not abandon Afghanistan. I think a plan that finds a wise way to get out of Afghanistan without abandoning the people to a worse situation would be the morally right thing to do.
For the rest of your careers, you will be known as Marshall Marines.
As the war pushes on, more Americans say the effort is going badly for the U.S. and Afghanistan. The general opinion is more pessimistic now than just 2 months ago, according to a new CBS News poll.
It's costing too much money. Our economy is really at a strain. I think it's time for the people in power to recognize that we can't stand too much longer of this war.
The poll finds that 62% of Americans say that the war is going badly, up from 49% in May. Only 31% say the Afghanistan war is going well. 9 years into the war, 33% of Americans say they do not want large numbers of U.S. troops in Afghanistan for another year. 23% of Americans say that they are willing to have troops stay there for one or two more years. Experts say the key question regarding the war is whether it's achieved its objective. That is, improving long-term U.S. security in Afghanistan. The drop in support shows there are challenges in garnering broader backing in the U.S.-led war effort. Among people who say the Afghanistan war has improved U.S. security, 68% also say the war has been worth fighting. But among those who see no security gains, the feeling that the war is worth fighting plummets. 14.
We're hitting.
U.S. and allied troops have recently experienced their deadliest weeks in Afghanistan ever. And the recent troop escalation forebodes more U.S. casualties, expected to increase the disapproval rate even more. For Press TV, Colin Campbell, Washington.
You're with Press TV's World News. Time for another look at the headlines this hour. The U.S. is set to provide Israel with its most extensive military aid package in history. Hezbollah cautions that Israel monitors Lebanon's entire telecommunications network. And the U.S. Army reports a record number of suicides among soldiers in the month of June.
We're coming up later on in the broadcast. More protests against the war in Afghanistan. Stay with us for more here on Press TV. Well, you're watching Press TV's World News. More than 100 Iraqis believed to have been tortured by British forces after the invasion of Iraq have won the right to instigate a public inquiry. The High Court in London has ruled that the claimants should be allowed to seek an inquiry into their allegations against the British Ministry of Defense. The court described the case as sufficiently persuasive for permission purposes. Human rights lawyers say they have incontrovertible evidence that over 100 Iraqis have suffered inhuman and degrading treatment, including hooding, electric shocks, and sexual abuse at the hands of British forces. Well, protesters have gathered outside Downing Street in London, once again outraged at the recent fatalities amongst British troops in Afghanistan.
Press TV's Farina Alam has more in this report.
This week, four British soldiers were killed in Afghanistan within a span of just 24 hours, pushing the total to 318. But for every serviceman killed, many, many more are coming home physically and mentally scarred.
What do we want? Troops out!
At home, these grim figures are an embarrassment to a government that wants the electorate to believe this war is worth it.
We think it's a pointless war. We think it's meaningless. You know, a lot of innocent people are dying for no reason. You know, it's all about greed, oil, wrong meaning. You know, this whole terrorism thing, it's all a way for the media and the governments to scare us, you know, so that then they can have control over us.
Britain's newly elected government, made up of politicians who voted for the Afghanistan war while in opposition and continue to justify it in power, say it is a war of necessity.
Those families now join the families of the victims of violence from 9/11, the London Underground, and the other families of our service personnel who've sacrificed elsewhere in this cycle of violence. We did not initiate the cycle of violence, but we do have to respond to it because the threat of transnational terrorism is now ever present.
That the Afghan war is correlated with terrorism on British soil isn't something these anti-war campaigners deny, but they have a different take.
As soon as Britain became involved in these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, some people became so enraged about them that they took terrorist action. That's the connection. Stop the wars and you stop the terrorism. Keep fighting the wars and you'll keep the terrorism.
The Stop the War Coalition now say it's time for persistent non-violent civil action against a government that simply isn't listening to its people.
The previous Labour government went into the Afghanistan war despite a wave of public opposition, and now the new government continues unabated on this same policy. But recent polls show that just 17% of the British public believe this war is justified. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Now, the first woman elected as a Lutheran bishop has resigned from her post in northern Germany.
She's accused of failing to thoroughly investigate reports of a sexually abusive pastor.
I expect that the abuse cases in Arnsberg and elsewhere will be swiftly investigated and the truth comes to light. I hereby declare my resignation as bishop in Sprengel, Hamburg and Lübeck.
Jepsen came under fire for allegedly deciding not to take action on claims that a priest within her diocese was involved in sexual abuse. In 1992, Jepsen was elected bishop of the Lutheran Church in northern Germany. That made her the first woman in the world to hold the post. In the past months, Germany has witnessed widespread abuse scandals involving allegations of sexual and physical abuse of children by priests. Hundreds of people claiming abuse have come forward since January.
In other news, U.S. officials say the joint naval exercises set to be held later this month with South Korea are aimed at North Korea, not China. The Pentagon says the exercises are meant to send a message to Pyongyang. Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell says the naval exercises are in response to the sinking of a South Korean warship back in March. U.S. officials say a separate anti-proliferation naval drill will also be held off South Korea in October. Pyongyang denies any involvement in the sinking of the South Korean warship. It says the UN Security Council condemnation of the attack without specifying the culprit. Well, thanks for staying with us. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this edition of the news. Do check out our website, though, presstv.ir, as always, for all the latest top stories.